film, and also an amazing amount of, I would say, community support and spirit for the film that helped my job as an actor. Made me feel comfortable, and even though we didn't have a lot of money and it was low budget, I think the professionalism on the set and the belief in the project carried us through.
Great. So
I think it's a landmark film. It is a landmark film. It's the only all-black produced above-the-line feature in Canada.
That's right. Yeah, it's pretty incredible. First time ever, 1994. Interesting that.
It made it to Cannes.
Pardon me?
And it made it to the Cannes film.
That's right. Yeah. So what do you think the role of your character, Rude, in the movie was portraying in terms of stereotypes in the Caribbean community? Like, your character makes several inferences to them. For example, when Rude states, "We got no fags, lesbos, queers, homos in the black community," and that line particularly stood out for me. I was watching it and I was like, oh my god. So,
well, I think for Rude, there's an ironic twist on that, right? I mean, the thing about the character is you never quite know where she stands on issues. And when she says that, "We got no fads, lesbians, homosexuals," that kind of thing, I think she's making, you know, she's making fun of the stereotypes of the Caribbean community. You know, that they're all macho black men and exotic black women, and, you know, that we don't deal with any of those issues, or that we have no gays and lesbians in the black community. And I think she's making an ironic comment on it.
Right.
As opposed to playing into the stereotype.
For sure.
You know? And I also think the interesting thing about Rude is that it was originally written for a man.
Oh.
And when they started doing the casting, I don't know how the process worked, but they decided to start looking at women playing it. So I think that that alone, the words that Rude speaks, are not words that are normally heard from women.
Yeah, that's for sure. Like, when she's referring to men and women, oh, bitches and dogs,
exactly.
And over and over and over again.
Exactly. And there's something empowering about being able to take that language and make it your own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rather than being the brunt of the hoe and the this and the that, you know? To take that same sort of slang or whatever you want to call it and make it your own. And also use it in a political context, right? Because she's talking about, you know, Babylon, which is the police, and all that kind of stuff. So she's using that same sort of slang language that's usually used by males and using it in a political context.
Right. So why do you think that there's a need or such an importance for films like Rude to be made and brought into mainstream audiences in Canada?
Well, you know, on one level, I think films like that just need to be made so that the rest of Canada sees our stories and our reality. And on another level, I think they're just important to be made because Rude is an artistically superior project. You know, it's a beautiful story. It was well shot. It was well directed. And I think that needs to be incorporated into the fabric of film history here in Canada, that we have filmmakers here, that we have talented people here. You know, so on both levels, on a political level, it speaks to a black reality in Canada, and also on an artistic level.
Right.
Sounds like I said autistic.
I hear autistic. So I was reading through your bio, and I understand that you completed your degree in political science at U of T. And what made you decide to make the big switch over to drama?
I was actually working at the Women's Center at U of T as a coordinator, and I needed a part-time job, so I started working at this theater company called Second Look Community Arts, doing their newsletter and stuff. And basically they asked me to, they approached me and asked me to start helping them with some of the workshops they were doing, and I started taking the workshops, and then they put me on stage one night, and I heard clapping, and my ego went, yes, this is fun. You get paid for this? This is amazing. And also, I think it was, I started out in popular theater, so it was a way to take my politics and my analyzing of structures and all of that kind of stuff and put it into a dramatic form that was more accessible to more people. So it started out with that kind of edge. And now it's moved towards wanting to express myself, basically, and all the art and politics and structures and political oppressions and racial oppressions that exist within me, but let it come out through the art.
Right, I guess that kind of leads me into my next question, which is, what has your experience as a woman of color working in the Canadian film industry been like?
Frustrating. It's frustrating. It's frustrating because I think it gets to a certain point where what happens is you want to be seen as an artist and then allow me to bring all of who I am, being black and South Asian and a woman, and bring all of that to the part, but not be limited to particular stereotypes of what those women are. So, you know, playing the best friend or the maid or, you know, the secretary who says, you know, can I get you coffee or whatever.
That's right.
Or being sort of ghettoized into only parts that are, you know, specifically, ethnically specific.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of frustrating, which is why myself and Maxine Bailey and Melanie Nicole King started Sugar and Spice, which is a theater company, a production company, devoted to promoting arts by women of color and for women of color. And that's how we then led into writing Sisters, which was this play about five black women, and just their daily lives. It's a drama, you know, and it doesn't focus on race as much as it focuses on our daily lives. And of course, race has something to do with it, because it has something to do with our daily lives.
Right.
But, you know, that was the drive behind all of that. Look, we can act, we have lives, we fall in love, we have babies, we get sick, we die, you know?
Well, you've mentioned some of the opportunities like that you've created for yourself as well as other women of color in Canada, trying to make it in the film industry, but what other avenues are there really, and what would you recommend is the best path for them to take?
You mean for other women of color trying to get into the industry?
That's right.
I would say that perseverance is one. And you know, some of the things that I have used in my own career is, if you're auditioning and they ask you for a monologue, you know, try doing a monologue that speaks to your own specific reality. That's one way of doing it and introducing them to, you know, for example, I've done a monologue about a Jamaican woman living in Canada who's Indian, because that's one stereotype, that there are no Indians in the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's one way to sort of break casting directors' sort of stereotypes. But also taking monologues that are written for, you know, the blonde woman, you know, the blonde bimbo or whatever, in a role that we never get cast, and taking it and making it your own, and trying to show them that you know, we can play characters. And the other thing is that I would really, really encourage is write your own material, you know, and support independent projects, and keep pushing, like keep pushing casting directors and your agent to send you out for non-specific roles, and support Canadian films, go see them.
Right. Of course.
You know.
Do you have any plans to write, act, or direct in, or produce any films or plays in the near future?
Yeah. Well, myself and Maxine Bailey have adapted our screenplay, our play Sisters, into a screenplay. So we're shopping that around right now. And we had gotten some funding to do that, so we're trying to get that produced. And it's an adaptation of Sisters. And right now I am going, in about 3 weeks, I'm going off to Vancouver to be in a film by an independent black filmmaker in Vancouver to play the role of Marcella in his film called Love and Death, A Rhythm Myth. And in the fall, I'm going to be in a play called Afrocentric, which Maxine Bailey is directing, and it's going to be here in Toronto.
Right.
And so, you know, all three of those projects are by independent people.
It's excellent, keeping you busy.
Yeah, and I'm also appearing in a play here in Toronto called Canadian Monsoon that premieres June 15th.
Excellent.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the other thing I want to say, is that the opportunities are there, and as frustrating as it is, I think those opportunities are there, and if you really have something to say, or you have a yen to direct or produce or whatever, grab some people and do it. Just do it.
For sure.
I sound like a Nike commercial.
Just do it. Oh, yeah. But it's true. I think, like anything else, in the film industry, I guess you have to push really hard, you know, to begin with, but twice as hard, you know, when you are working from the perspective of a woman of color. And
yeah, and particularly in this time where there's so little funding, you know, and funding cuts, you know, the OFDC funding has been cut and telefilm, and I think that it's really, really important to just keep doing our own independent projects, you know, even if it means just grabbing a, you know, a Super 8 camera and shooting stuff. You know, so just that you get that experience and that you can have something on tape to get your foot in the door.
I guess that's where it begins.
Yeah.
So this Saturday, you'll be doing a reading at Desh Pradesh. And I was wondering what you think the importance of such festivals in Canada are for South Asian Canadians and South Asian community in Canada.
Well, I think the amazing thing about Desh Pradesh is it's the only festival of its kind in North America. It's the only festival, South Asian festival, on that level that brings together politics and art and the diversity of communities that it does, you know, within the South Asian community. So right there, it stands on its own. And I think because it tries to incorporate art and politics, that there's something there for everybody. So if you want to go to workshops or you want to learn more about South Asian identity and the conflicts within that identity, there's political platforms to do that. And also if you just want to go and be entertained.
Right.
You know, the caliber of artists there are amazing, and it's international. You know, they come from all over the world, which is brilliant.
Yeah. Right here in little old Toronto.
Pardon?
I said right here in little old Toronto,
yeah,
Canada.
Exactly, which is not too far from Guelph.
That's right. Well, it's bad, folks. So get out there.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, what time and which location will you be doing your reading at?
Most of the events take place at the Central YMCA,
right,
which is on Grosvenor Street. And my performance is on Saturday night, which is June the 8th. And the program starts at 7 o'clock and goes to about 10, and then there's a kicking dance afterwards.
Excellent. Well,
yeah.
I'm sure to be there. And
you're coming?
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
Most definitely. I'll be there.
Come say hi.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Well, Shannon, it's been really great talking with you.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
And we'll see you on Saturday at Desh.
Okay. And if you want more information about Desh, look in Now Magazine.
Okay.
A spread on it.
For sure.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Thanks, Giselle.
Okay, talk to you then.
Okay.
Bye-bye.